funded Christian workers who appeared to us as impoverished nomads. I would have definitely benefited from a book like this to help shape my support-raising philosophy in those early days. So, with only a calling from the Lord and a vision for ministry, I took stock of my possessions. Enough money to last us 6 weeks, a pregnant wife, 3 young children, plenty of monthly bills, and, to put it mildly, a deep, overwhelming sense of urgency. I wasn't in a panic, but I was definitely a highly motivated man on a mission. I concocted a 4-part strategy consisting of going to every person I knew to meet face-to-face, sharing my ministry vision, asking them to join our monthly support team, closing my mouth, and letting them answer. Those 4 simple steps, in a nutshell, sum up the grand and glorious secret to raising your support. If you feel strongly enough about anything and are prepared to trust God completely, you will find a way to accomplish it. Exactly 6 weeks later, we were at full support, ready to launch our ministry and pay all our bills. Did I pray like crazy? Absolutely. Did I trust God every step of the way? Yes. Did I totally rely on His strength and not my own? As far as I know. Did I give Him honor and glory for the results? No question. Since 1986, our family has lived and ministered because of the generous, ongoing investments of others who believe in God and us. And looking back, we would not want to live any other way. And now I'm excited for you. You are about to enter one of the most stretching periods of your life. Support raising will not limit you or hold you back. It will unleash you. Your life and ministry may never be the same. Whether you're a rookie in support raising or a veteran coming back for some refresher training, I hope we can be of help. If you study this material closely and diligently apply it, there is no reason you can't get to your ministry assignment quickly and fully funded. Hard work required. I was the only male in my family who was not a pole vaulter or a sprinter, each one in incredible physical shape. I spent my summers during college working at a camp, counseling alongside huge varsity athletes. Yes, I tried to keep up with these guys, but the size and speed genes must have bypassed me. Later, as I began seminary, I dropped any semblance of exercise, desperately attempting to somehow pass my Greek courses. Come late February, I remembered I had promised my camp friend, Spencer, that I would run a marathon with him in Fort Worth. When 4,000 of us runners showed up on that cold and rainy Saturday morning in Texas, I had failed to include one minor detail in my schedule the previous 8 months. I had not trained one single day. No need, because I believed myself to be an indestructible 24-year-old warrior, and I certainly wasn't going to break a sweat over a puny little 26.2-mile marathon. With no knowledge of long-distance running or the concept of carbing up, I figured keeping a light stomach before the race would be best. So I limited myself to a donut and a cup of coffee. As the starter's gun went off, I foolishly sprinted out in front of everyone, fantasizing that I was going to be one of the top finishers. I turned to see the crowd of runners behind me and thought, "Come on, if you're going to run a marathon, let's do it." I didn't last 5 minutes before reality set in. I slowed way down, and hordes of runners began passing me. I miraculously survived until the 22-mile mark when I hit the proverbial wall. Medics, assigned to spot runners in dire need, 3 times waded through the crowd, grabbed me by the shoulders, looked me in the eyes, and asked if I could finish the race. I had many hours of race time that day to contemplate my life. With my lungs about to burst and every bone and muscle screaming out in pain,